We pray. O Lord, every word of your word is true. Guide us by that word today. Amen. In our day and age, it seems to be increasingly popular to make things your own as you grow into adulthood. Our society really pressures young people to leave their mark as they become the next generation of adults and leaders. We even have this desire in our own personal lives. It seems that as soon as we gain some type of freedom or responsibility, we want to change the way that things used to be done. For example, we often decorate our rooms with posters or knickknacks to help define who we are and to make an impression about what we believe. Or for those of you who own cars, there's a certain sense of freedom and entitlement in being able to choose how it looks, whether it be color or style or a bumper sticker. As we get older and become adults, we are faced with more responsibilities and decisions. And as we bridge that gap between childhood and adulthood, we need to learn how to make things our own. Whether it be things like our room or our car or something more important like a job or family. Regardless of what we look at, soon enough you will all be leaders and adults in this life, and you will need to learn how to make things your own. But the question is, must you always change it in order to make it your own? Certainly we have the desire to promote our own interests and our own identity. And when we're talking about things like our room or our car, change is almost always needed in order to make it your own. But what about when we talk about our spiritual lives? What about when we talk about our faith? What about when we talk about the church we belong to? Must we change it in order to make it our own? We read from 2 Thessalonians about how Paul encouraged the Christians there as they transitioned into the adulthood of their faith. He said, "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word or by letter." Paul's hope for these Christians was that they would continue in the things that they had heard. In fact, he commends them to stand firm and to hold fast to these teachings. And in the previous verse, he identifies these teachings as the gospel. The good news of Christ's atonement and resurrection for your sins is to be the foundation upon which you build and which you cling to. The gospel not only has the strength to support you in your every failing, but it also is a personal message that speaks to each individual. There comes a point in every person's life when he or she must confront the question, is my faith my own? In other words, am I sure and am I convinced that what I have learned from little on from my parents and teachers and pastors, am I sure that that's what I believe? For many of us, this question was answered when we took our confirmation vows. Through that public confession, you promised that you agreed with what you had been taught, and you agreed with it because it came from God's Word. In the passage that we quoted from 2 Thessalonians, Paul uses the plural teachings. It's true that in your confirmation vow, you promised that you believed in the gospel, just as Paul talks about in the immediate context, but also that you believed in every part of God's Word. Whether it be gospel, whether it be law, whether it be one section or one chapter or one verse, you promised that that is what you believe in. Yes, for many of us here, we have publicly declared that our faith is our own, and we did so at our confirmation. We used God's Word, and we used a study of the Catechism to educate ourselves in what God taught, and then we promised that that is what we believed. But as important as your confirmation is, an equally important day waits ahead of you, and for some of you has probably already come. The day that your faith is tested. Now, our faith is tested every day in various ways, but I'm talking about a very public and a very personal day that your faith is tested, that you will be questioned and asked as to whether or not you believe this, as to whether or not your faith is really your own. But another equally important question to consider, is your church your own? That is, do you wholeheartedly believe that what the CLC teaches, that what your church body teaches, agrees with the Word of God? I'm sure many of you would consider the CLC more of your parents' church or your ancestors' church rather than your own church. Yes, we're all members of the CLC, but few of us were around when it started, and few of us were influential in starting it. Can we really be personally invested in our church body? Can we really call it our own? What about our faith, for that matter? Can we really call our faith our own? Well, we mentioned before about the day we were confirmed in our faith. That day also served as a public declaration of our fellowship in our church body, in the CLC. And oftentimes when your faith is tested, your fellowship is also tested along with it. When that day comes that you are tested about whether or not your faith is your own or whether or not your church is your own, remember these words from Paul. Stand firm and hold to the teachings that were passed on to you, whether by word or by letter. There's too many Christians today who approach their faith and their fellowship like it's their room or their car. They feel that they need to change it in order to make it their own. But at what expense? Treating your faith and fellowship this way is separating it from the Word of God, separating it from that which gives it power and life. We certainly can agree that we're never perfect in our faith and fellowship. We're still sinful creatures. There's always room for improvement, but that improvement must come at the direction and guidance of God's Word. The gospel specifically, but not forsaking other teachings. Paul reiterated this same message in his letter to the Romans. He wrote, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, so that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." He wrote the same thing to Timothy when he wrote, "But you must continue in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Before you came to Emmanuel, you publicly made your faith your own through your confirmation vows. And I ask you, did you need to change anything in order to bring that to pass? It's true that a change needed to be made, but it wasn't made by you. It was the Holy Spirit working through the gospel that changed your heart from darkness to light. It was your Savior upon the cross that changed your status and allowed you to confess Him as Lord and Savior. That's the change that took place. But as you continue to learn and grow in the coming years, you will also be faced with the task of making your church body your own. You will grow up and become the leaders and adults of our synod, and you will be faced with the question, do I need to change something in order to make it my own? Do I need to change my church in order to make it my own? And certainly, we can agree that there may come a day that the CLC no longer stands upon the Word of God. There may come a day when false doctrine enters our church body, and we do need to stand up for a change. But just as you did in your confirmation vow, cling to God's Word and let the Holy Spirit work through the gospel. Don't give in to the pressure of the world to change something just to make it your own. As Paul wrote, stand firm and hold fast to God's Word, to God's entire Word, whether you heard it by word or whether you heard it by letter, whether you were taught by your parents or by teachers or by pastors. Lord, we pray that we always hold fast and stand firm on your word. We close with hymn 296, verse 1.